If you would like to know what God expects of you, or would you rather not? How many of you would like to please God? Amen. How many of you have ever said, I'm not what I want to be? Amen. In other words, I want to draw closer to the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about that this morning, and my text will be Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. a great chapter in the Bible. Let's just look at a few verses together. In fact, we could read the whole chapter. It's so good. Chapter 5 of Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, not in the sin, but in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now he means, if ye be circumcised for the sake of salvation, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the answer. There's the secret to the problems that even Christians have doing wrong things. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is he telling us to do something that is utterly impossible to do? Or must we all sin? Can we live without sinning? Excuse me. Listen. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. But if ye watch television all day, what do you expect to do? If you go to rotten movies, what do you expect to do? If you don't read your Bible, what do you expect to do? If you don't pray, what do you expect to do? If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. No. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. See, adultery is not of God. Fornication. Fornication is not of God. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I would much rather be full of the Holy Ghost, be led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, than make excuses and justify my wrongs. Wouldn't you? Amen. So We don't need self-justification. We don't need to say, well, everybody sins. We don't need to... The flesh is weak. We don't need to say things like that. We need to say, oh, God, fill me with your power. Oh, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Ghost to the degree where I'm led by the Spirit, where I walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's the secret, folks. And so, let me finish the chapter and go on. My text is in verse 25. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's. Now listen to this now. Now, do we claim to be Christ's? Yes, we do. Well, then they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. I guess that would kind of indicate that when you have all these affections and lusts of the flesh, you're not Christ's. I mean, this is not a condemning chapter. No, this is not a condemning chapter. This is putting the record straight. You can't say that I'm full of the Holy Ghost and then be full of old wine and full of liquor and say I'm full of the Holy Ghost when all you're full of is intoxicating beverages. Right? Okay. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, how many of you would like to go deeper in Christ than you are? See, you already said that you have said you are not where you want to be in Christ. You have already said earlier in this Sunday school lesson that you would like to please God and you would like to be more like Jesus, etc. Okay? So, let's say that then. Let's say that you haven't changed your mind in 5 minutes. Okay? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Here's my text. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I might as well read the last verse to complete the chapter. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise the Lord. Amen. The text again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Simply stated, this verse means that if you have the Holy Ghost, then walk in the Holy Ghost. Or this verse simply stated says, if you have the Holy Ghost, then be led by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. In other words, if I claim to have the Holy Ghost, then my life should reflect the influence of the Holy Ghost. It should reflect the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost should be working in me if I have the Holy Ghost. We don't want to be a church that says I have the Holy Ghost and is not led by the Holy Ghost. There are people that would love to join us. They would love to be bona fide members of Pentecostal Assembly Church because they love you, they love your life, they love your spirit. But they would also love to live together without being married, fornicating, adulterating, and claiming that they're one of us. They are not one of us. They are living in sin. They need to repent of their sin. Is that right? Amen, it's right. And we can't become softer than Jesus. We can't become more lenient than Jesus. We can't try to say that we are nicer than Jesus because he won't allow it, but we will. He won't let it in his church, but we'll let it in our church. Do you follow me? I hope you follow me. And then we also need to be like Jesus in that he forgives sin upon their repentance, and we need to forgive sin upon their repentance. But when there's no repentance, you need to be careful. Amen. We need to be careful. If I claim to have the Holy Ghost, my life should reflect the influence of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost, and I should be led by the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a deeper life now. I'm talking about getting below what appears to be on the surface. I'm talking about getting down into living for Jesus and being full of the Holy Ghost and not being a hypocrite and so on, and save yourselves from this wicked and untoward generation. If I'm an apple tree, then I should produce apples. If I'm an orange tree, I should produce oranges. Amen. If I'm a pear tree, a lemon tree, I should produce pears or lemons, whatever the case may be. If I am a fish, then I should live underwater and swim well. If I am a bird, I should be able to soar the skies. Amen. And if I am a spirit-filled Christian, then the proof of what I claim to be will be manifested in my holy life, in my Christian life. Is that right? Amen. What I claim to be, I must live out in my life. How many people claim to be Christians if they're nothing like Christ? You're a whole lot more like Christ than you think you are. The devil's just lying to us. Amen. When Jesus gives us his spirit, what do you think? Should we hate what he loves and love what he hates? No. When Jesus gives us his spirit, we love what he loves and we hate what he hates. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And you are anointed with the oil of gladness above your neighbors. Let me tell you, you are more like Jesus than you think you are. You bear his name. You have his spirit. And the well, you may not know how close you are to God, but let me tell you, your neighbors think that you're angelic. You don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't fornicate and adulterate. You don't cuss and swear and spit and chew. They're chewing and spit. You don't do those things, so they think you're a saint. They don't know the struggles that you are having inside with your thoughts, with your temper, holding it down and asking God to put a watch on your mouth, like David said. You know, they don't know those struggles that you're having, but you're having them. They think you're a saint, and you think you're not. Let me tell you, if you know Jesus Christ, you are a saint of God. You are a child of God. Praise the Lord. And you don't look so good in your own eyes as you do in the eyes of the world. So don't be condemned. Go on. Go on and on and on and go into the deeper life and draw closer and closer to the Lord. Upon receiving the Holy Ghost, something else happens. All of a sudden, when you get saved, when you're born again, when you receive the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden, you find a lot of opposition in the world. You're having a conflict now with the world. You know why? Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, you agree with God and not with man. Let me read it to you. For what man knoweth the things of a man, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, save the spirit of man which is in him? See, I can understand humans. I can understand men because I have the spirit of man. They have the spirit of man. Okay? What man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Okay? When your wristwatch breaks, you don't take it to an elephant to get it repaired. He's not real dexterous, you know. You take it to another man. Who made the watch, who understands the watch, who can fix the watch. Your automobile, the same way. You don't take it to a giraffe, you know, to fix your car. No, listen to it. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. See what you have tapped into, folks? Oh, this mighty resource, this the spirit of God. And now then he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, so that we can understand men better and go to the moon better and all of this, but the spirit which is of God. This is what we have received. And why? Why have we received the spirit of God? So we can have a ticket, put it in our pocket, or put it in our Bible, or log it in some register, or write it in our Bible somewhere? Is that why we got the Holy Ghost? No, we got the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Praise the Lord. You, not the world. You and you alone can know the things that are freely given to us of God. You have that potential. So let's go for it. That's what I've been doing a long time now. Let's go for it. Let's dig. Amen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. It is not a one-time experience. Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If it was a one-time experience, maybe those in the upper room would represent the whole church. And it would never have fallen again. Never have fallen on the disciples of John the Baptist. Never would have fallen on Paul. Never would have fallen on you or me in this day. Amen. But the Spirit of God doesn't come one time. It's not a one-time experience. Jesus said He will abide with you. When the Holy Ghost comes, you can expect Him to be walking side by side with you. And when you see somebody and they ask you about your religion and how come you changed and how come you're different, you can give them an answer filled with the Holy Ghost. You can know that the Holy Ghost is right with you and He will give you the words to say in that hour. You do not have to be reluctant. You do not have to be afraid. Just open your mouth and He'll fill it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay, I'll just give you a few proofs here. Peter spoke with anointing. The day after, another 5,000 souls got saved. And then they were threatened. And then the Bible says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now wait, this is not the day of Pentecost. This is the day after, you know. I mean, this is days after. This is not the day that he first received the Holy Ghost. And it says here, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. What I'm saying is the Holy Ghost is not a one-time experience. And when we witness to people and when we teach home Bible studies, we should not be telling them, you got to get the Holy Ghost, you got to get the Holy Ghost, you got to get the Holy Ghost. We should tell them, the Holy Ghost has got to get you, the Holy Ghost has got to get you, the Holy Ghost has got to get you. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. Sure, you got to get the Holy Ghost, but that's Acts 2:4. But Acts 4:8 says, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a one-time experience. It was something that he experienced again and again, day after day, throughout his life. He filled with the Holy Ghost, and he said, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, and he began to preach to them. They were threatened again and let go. And then they went to a prayer meeting, and the apostles prayed with anointing. Now, this is not the prayer meeting in the upper room. No. This is not the prayer meeting on the day of Pentecost. No. The Holy Ghost is still there. The Holy Ghost is still active. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were full of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And then Stephen, Deacon Stephen, it doesn't say he's a deacon, but he did the work of a deacon. He was one of them that was called out. And Stephen preached a powerful message. And oh, they gnashed their teeth upon him. And the Bible says that he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he looked up into heaven. Even in death, that Holy Ghost is with you. Our Holy Ghost doesn't leave us. It's not a one-time experience at the altar. It's an everyday experience. And we have to know that. And we have to long for that and live for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul was anointed for a supernatural task. I had somebody ask me one time when somebody came into the church in a prayer meeting that we were having, a bunch of us men, and a demon-possessed fellow came in. Somebody said, why didn't you cast the demon out of him? Well, I said, why didn't Jesus cast the demon out of Judas Iscariot? You know, you don't just jump around, lay hands suddenly on people and cast demons out of everybody. I know people that think that. We had a guy right here in church. He was stomping all over the place. And he said, there's a demon there. He disturbed the service. He said, oh, I'll get him. Oh, just stomping all over. Demon. That was a demon. I put him down. He never came back to church. I don't want our church to believe stuff like that. Garbage, junk, foolishness. No. Amen. Now look at here. Paul. Here's Elymas. And he's just nagging and harassing the apostles. And it says, after many days, Paul, being grieved, cast the devil out? No, he cast blindness on the man. Hey, we got to be led by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, and then we'll be able to discern all of these things. Okay? But he was anointed. The Bible says, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and cast blindness on him. Acts 13:52, they were anointed when they were suffering for Christ's sake. Hey, remember, when you're persecuted, when you're cast out of people's presence for his name's sake, the Holy Ghost is with you. It is not a one-time experience. Anointed when suffering for Christ's sake. They were expelled from their coast. They were persecuted. And the Bible says in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, please, if you didn't know this, know it now. Learn it today. The Holy Ghost comes to abide with you, to stay throughout your whole life, and to be with you in times of suffering and persecution, in times of healing, and times of blindness being cast on somebody or demons being cast out of somebody. The Holy Ghost is with you from your new birth on. Amen. When a boy and a girl fall in love and get married, the original wedding ceremony is a one-time experience, but the marriage is a lifetime experience. The wedding is one thing, the marriage is another. The wedding, you might say, let's say in the upper room they receive the Holy Ghost initially the first time, but then we live with him. Amen. We're his bride. He's the bridegroom. The marriage is a lifetime experience. And so a young couple gets married, fall in love and get married, and they live together as a husband and wife for the duration of their lives. They talk about their future together. They plan their activities together. And neither one of them has another boyfriend or girlfriend. Neither one of them has another lover. You come to my house, you will see right now, and for the last, ever since you gave them to me, darling, you will see on the end table right where I sleep on the bed, there are 4-5 pictures of my wife. I don't have another picture of another woman. Did you know that? And I'd like us all to know that we don't need to be carrying around pictures of other lovers in our heart. We need to have a picture of Jesus Christ in our hearts, and he is our only lover. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So how would you judge a marriage in which the couple did not live together? How would you judge a marriage in which the married couple were not on speaking terms, and they had no mutual plans, and they never showed affection to the other? Well, how would you judge that marriage? I'd say it's on the rocks, headed for destruction. I've heard several people say, and some of them wanted to say it right in front of the church, and we allowed two of them to do so, if I had worked as hard at my first marriage as I am working at my second marriage, there never would have been a second marriage. I've heard that over and over. Brother Manser said on January 30, 1991. He's gone now to glory. Brother Tanberg, I was just thinking, if we worked as hard to keep the Holy Ghost as we did to get the Holy Ghost, we would always be on fire for God. God bless his memory. Amen. How many of us have said, today even, I'm not where I want to be? Okay, now ask yourself the question, do I sincerely desire to be more spiritual? Let me unload a few secrets on you. Secret. So many people don't know this secret. It's a fact. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. It's a fact. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. The less I pray, the more humanistic I will become. And of course, the less I'll pray. You know why? Because humanism omits God. Humanism says, we can handle this job all by myself. That's what humanism says. We don't need the intervention of a supernatural God. We can handle it by ourselves. And so, let me tell you my reasoning here. And so, I figured this out, that without God, 24 hours a day will never be enough for me to solve all my problems. So I'll complain about the length of the day that God made and criticize him and say, you should have made it longer so I can get everything done. And God is saying, if you'll talk to me, if you'll consult me, you'll get everything done and have time over left to talk and pray. Ooh, I can tell this is a tough one here. This is a tough one. Let me start over. The more I pray, the more I will want to pray. But prayer is boring. If you're a humanist, it's boring. If you're spiritual, prayer is not boring. Amen. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The less I pray, the more humanistic I become. And the more humanistic I become, the more I omit God. And without God, 24 hours a day will not be enough to solve all my problems. Therefore, I'll be busy 24 hours a day solving my problems, so I won't have any time to pray. I'll be too busy solving problems. Hello? I'll tell you, I'm telling you the truth, folks. And I'm giving you a secret that will help you solve a multitude of problems. If my people, which are called, you know, we vote and we think that when we voted, we've done our duty. No way have you done your, I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever you are. I don't care. Voting is not enough. The Bible says, pray for the leaders of your land, right? The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, there's a formula. There are some requisites. There are some things that you have to do before, with beside voting. Okay? All right. That's a secret. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. It's a secret that a whole lot of people haven't tapped into. Okay, another secret. The more I have of God, the more I will want of God. Have you ever been in a church service where there's not much of God there? It's easy to go home. It's easy to go home. It's easy for even a spiritual person to go home. But when the Spirit of the Lord is fall, I have seen the Spirit of the Lord fall until people who dismissed themselves early and were congregating out in the foyer. When the Holy Ghost started falling, you can see head after head peek in and body after body standing upright. Look, what's going on in there? It was noised abroad. The Holy Ghost was falling. Praise the Lord. I'll never make it, brother. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you know what goes on in the back, but the Sunday school superintendent raises his hand. This means 5 minutes. I'll never make it. So I'm going to have to continue. Probably next Sunday. That's all right. Let me just get another secret or two here. I want you to go home with a bunch of secrets revealed to you. Amen. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. The more you have of God, the more you will want of God. I'll guarantee you, the more you have of God, the more you will want of God. I'll guarantee you, the more you read your Bible and understand it, through the Spirit of God and get revelations from God, the more you will want to read it, the more you will love it. It's a fact, folks. It's a secret to a lot of people, but it's a fact. Let me say it again. The more you pray, the more you will want to pray. And I don't mean just giving God your like a grocery list or something. You know, this is what I want, God. I want this, I want this, I want this. No, but when you have communion, sweet communion, blessed communion with God, you will find Him to be a better friend than anybody you have on this earth. And there are people that you love to dial their number and talk to them sometimes for the hour, especially ladies. Call somebody and talk and talk and visit and visit. And there are people that you come to church and you single out and you love to see. You love that person. You have an affinity to each other. You just love to talk to them. And that's natural. But let me say something. When you get to know Jesus, you will love to talk to Him. And you will not go to the altar and pray until the lights are being dimmed. And then... I prayed a long time and look around at everybody else with disdain, you know, and how come you're not praying? I'm more spiritual than you. That's not what happens when you know God. You get up from prayer and communion with God, and you beat your chest. You say, "Oh God, thank you for having mercy on me, a sinner." Amen. And you don't judge anybody. When you've been with my God, you don't judge anybody. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't have a lot of trouble pastoring, because I love everybody, even those that have done wrong, even those that are not as spiritual as God would like to have them be. I don't have a lot of trouble pastoring because I've been with God, and I know His great love and mercy for people. And He tells me to sound the alarm, blow the trumpet. He tells me to preach against sin, but He also tells me to love people. Love people. And I love you. I want you to know that. Nobody has to be afraid to come to me and talk something over that they're having trouble with. I hate my husband. Come on, let's talk. Let's talk. I hate my wife. Come on, let's talk. Yeah. Let's talk. We'll change your mind. Praise the Lord. Secret. The more I pray, the more I want to pray. Secret. The more I have of God, the more I want of God. Secret. If this power to live right comes from the Spirit of God, if this power to live right comes from the Spirit of God, then why not build up the power? Okay, I'll give you a Bible for that. This is a secret. How many people know this? God's not trying to keep it from us. It's just a secret. People haven't found it. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? Praying in the Holy Ghost. I can prove this to a Baptist. Praying in the Holy Ghost means praying in tongues. Hallelujah. That's what it means. It means speaking in tongues when you pray. Build up your most holy faith praying in tongues. Oh, it can't mean that. He doesn't say anything about that. Well, Paul said, I will pray with the understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit. So if you're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, you're going to pray with the Spirit, you can't pray with the understanding then, or you'd have a conflict there. Hello? Amen. Paul said, I will sing with the understanding. That's what we do here. But how many of you have ever seen, like my wife, just start playing after church service when everybody's sitting in the presence of God, those that have stayed and lingered and loved that presence of God. My wife has just broken out and sung songs in tongues. How many of you have ever seen that? Yes, amen. Amen. So, if this power to live right comes from the Spirit of God, then let's learn the secret. Why not build up the power? And here's how you do it. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, we need to speak in tongues a whole lot more than we do. The Corinthian church had a problem of misusing and abusing that speaking in tongues. But we don't have that problem, folks. We got a lot of instructions in 1 Corinthians on how to treat the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues. But those instructions right now, they apply to us, but we're not having that problem. We're not having the problem of too many tongues and interpretations. Too many healings. We got to watch this. You know. Too many miracles. Let's cut these miracles down. I mean, they're really disturbing us. We don't have a problem of an abundance, overabundance, no. No. We have the problems of the other end of the spectrum. Amen. Secret. If this power comes from God, then why not build up the power? And the way you do it, the Bible answers, pray in the Holy Ghost. Another secret, parents, our young people will be much more apt to walk in the Spirit when we give them opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, they got their own relationship with the Lord. They've got their own relationship with the Lord. They can be filled with the Spirit if they want to. As for me and my wife, we're just going to fold our arms and challenge the Spirit to touch us. No, let me say it again, though. Secret, parents. Here's a secret for parents. Our young people will be much more apt to walk. I said much more apt to walk in the Spirit when we give them opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. So here's my point. When we have church, saints of God, if you're a dad, you're a mom, your children are there in church, oh, lift your hands when hands are lifted. Lift your voice when voices are lifted. Pray when prayer is wont to be made. Shake and tremble under the power of the Holy Ghost when there's an opportunity to do that. Let your children see you. Be an example to them. They're going to be much more apt to do it themselves when they see dad and mom doing it. Amen. So, what if I came to church and I said, people are worshiping and hands are lifted, people are running the aisle, and I say, Jane, Julie, jump, dance. I'm not going to, but I want you to be filled with the Spirit so you don't backslide. I want you to love God with all your... Oh, sure, I love God. Sure. Doesn't work that way, does it, folks? Hey, parents, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and we need to be yielded to the Holy Ghost. So when we have church, parents, respond to the Holy Ghost and be an example to your children. Or what do you think your children are going to be? You have given them away. If you say, well, you do what Brother Tanberg does, then you have given your children for me to adopt. They're your children. Did I step on toes or am I right? How many think I'm right? Thank you. Thank you. That's the vast majority. Amen. Amen. My time is definitely up. Praise the Lord. And I got one more secret. I'll keep that a secret till next Sunday. Oh, can we stand? Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, I know that we would be ignorant if we didn't have your word. We would be floundering about in darkness if we didn't have your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Your word instructs us. Your word corrects us. Your word tells us what to do, Lord. And we want to be obedient to your word, Lord. God, if we disagree with the whole world, or the whole world disagrees with us, if we are in agreement with you, Lord, we will be happy. Praise God. So, Lord, we confess your word today. We confess that your word is true, Lord. And we want to be what you want us to be, Lord. We have made that statement today, God. We want to be what you want us to be. We are not where we want to be. Thank God we're not where we used to be. But one day we hope to be what you want us to be, Lord Jesus. And let us keep striving for that goal. I pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody. We're dismissed from Sunday school. We're going to take a break. We discussed that in staff meeting this morning. We're going to take a break.